It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah! We're not afraid here and declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, Freedom's Phoenix Studios in Phoenix, Arizona. I don't know. Can I not be afraid? I just choose. Can I not? I mean, I don't do anything to be afraid of, so I'm just kind of cool. You know, I'm good. You know, I don't go around saying I hate people. You know, can I not? I mean, it's too much energy. And the thing is, this whole thing about Obama, I hate him. And I'm going.
It gives him too much credit for anything.
And then what's the guy right after him? They got a long line of these guys. I mean, you know, it's just changed it. They went from, you know, Bush to blackface. I mean, you know, what's the difference? You know, it really just makes no same people. Heck, they got the same Secretary of Defense in there. You know, want more people go Afghanistan. We're going to send more to Afghanistan. We expanded into Pakistan. Mm-hmm. Where's the anti-war movement? I mean, golly, you guys are killing me. So, you know, and second thoughts and failures of confidence, nervous last-minute course changes are all detours and recipes for defeat. The time to think is before the battle, if possible, before the war, not in the heat of it. So when we do this kind of stuff, we already know what the end game is. You know, we know what they're going to do. We know what they're going to say. And we warn these guys. I tell Chris, I said, man, you're better off just, you're ahead, man. Just shut up.
Absolutely.
You're not experienced enough to deal with these guys.
I was hoping it was going to end, you know, 2 days after the rally. You did CNN and... You know, a little bit, you know what I mean? There were a few things, and they were trying to track Chris down, and your answer was perfect to Sanchez. You know, well, where is Chris anyway? Like, can we have him on here so we can rip him to shreds? And you said, he's hiding from you.
Yeah, and he should have kept hiding is what happened. But, you know, the thing is that Pastor Anderson's getting what he wanted, attention. And he wants to be hit, and they'll make a big deal. See, he's a fundamentalist preaching, you know, death to whatever. And he's like, yeah, I mean, that's what I wanted you to. That's why I put it up on YouTube. That is the crowd that I'm going for. You're helping me, and they kind of support each other. You know, they just amp this up into all of a sudden you got a separation. And so I know better. I've been doing this a long time. So I called the New Times or did a message on his blog. Of course, he didn't put it up. I don't think he doesn't. Want to come. And I said, Monday, Labor Day, come on down. Let's talk about it. Heck, I have Chris and the pastor. We'll get all of you and Leonard Clark that's protesting the pastor out there. You know, all we need is love. Get it in here. I got four mics, man. Let's rock on.
Round table discussion.
Let's do it. Let's do it. And then, of course, Leonard, I've known for a long time. He gets a call from somebody. I think he got it from Stephen
Lemons.
Yeah, from the New Times. Don't do it, man. He's a whatever the heck he told me. And I've known Leonard for a long time. Leonard calls me and he goes, well, I don't know, man. Are you a militia guy that's going to shoot me down? All of a sudden? And I'm going, wow, did they get in your head? Was it that easy? I mean, come on, Leonard. We've known each other for a long time. So, and what was interesting also is last week, Thursday and Friday, for 6 hours, 3 hours a day, Jeff Farias, very progressive left talk show host I've known from Air America for a long time, he guest hosted Randy Rhodes' show for 2 days from here in this studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, have fun, man. Jet sent him up and said, go be real somewhere. And I'm sure that, and he was on the show before, like the week before, we talked about all this. So he got the first hand. What did he say? I don't know. I didn't listen to it. But at least, you know, went from lack of knowing. You know, it's good to have the open communication with these people because you find out you have a lot more in common than you think. We'll be right back.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're going to try and get, you know, Monday, Labor Day, we'll get it, because everybody's off of school, everybody's off of work, everybody's off. They come in, we're going to bring them all in. And you'd think they'd want to. Nah, they don't, because they don't want to end to this.
Well, the guy is the bird, right? I'm saying things, saying he's a chicken. Calling you out, bird, you're a chicken.
Yeah, you know, I know, Stephen, whatever, you know. Their motivations are different. You know, they just like, he really writes like, it's like a gossip columnist almost. It's like, you know, they use the word Nazi all the time. They're always name calling, and then he used like, 15 names to call us. You know?
Yeah, right.
You know? But that's their style, whatever, you know. But you guys get to know the truth. That's right. We know the truth here. So what happened, if you're engaged in this kind of thing, let me tell you what, it's moral weakness. It's moral weakness rather than villainy that accounts for most of the evil in the universe and feeble-hearted allies, far rather than your most powerful enemies who are the likeliest to do you an injury you cannot recover from. You are much more worrying about the people that's supposed to be on your side that kind of, well, I'm uncomfortable. They're making stop, you know.
They're making fun of us.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the, you know, and I got a lot of good friends in the Libertarian Party and so on, and they keep doing this. You know, well, where Ernie, you're the most notable libertarian. Like, you are the libertarian. I'm going, why am I the libertarian voice? Why? Where did that come from? It's because they're not doing anything.
And because you're not compromising.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they'll come up. They go, well, you're making us look bad. Well, go make yourself look good then. Go do something. You know, I'm just, you know, why am I? Do I have to worry about you? I tell you what, the last thing on my mind is what the Libertarian Party thinks about, you know, being libertarian, you know. So I'm just going, whatever, you know. You do it because they're so worried about, you know, support of the press. Well, let me tell you, FYI, that's never going to happen, okay? That's not, you think they're going to, oh, wow, the Libertarian, they will set you up. They'll even build you up on a pedestal to go get you. You know, they'll just, you know, pile it up there and then boom, so everybody can see you so they can shoot you, you know, on national television. Boom, got them. Ha, 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 ha. So I'm going, you know, quit. Give it up, man. Don't worry. It's about how many minds you can free. It's about freeing people. And Libertarian Party is a side effect of Libertarian philosophy, not the other way around. And the sooner you guys figure that out, the better. You think that this is about the vote totals on government computers in a pageant that they make the rules for. I'm going, you just want to, I mean, that's the most frustrating thing that I get. They have no clue that this battle is on a totally different plane than where they're playing. They're just helping legitimize the man. You know, that's all they're doing. And, you know, no other hand-wise that the easiest and most humiliating path to defeat is thinking that to beat the enemy, you must be like him. Avoid the temptation to set your values aside for the duration. You know, what's the point of fighting if you give up what you're fighting for? If you remain consistent with your values and it leads to defeat, you chose the wrong values to begin with. Okay, so we have been successful, and the reason that, you know, the activism that I promote and advocate and Freedom's Phoenix and all that is because there's a philosophy behind it. Everybody gets to do their thing, but there comes a point. I mean, Freedom's Phoenix is a business, all right? So I have to protect the brand. I have to protect, declare your independence. I have to, you know, so I put people I trust in to do whatever. Like, you know, Jet did a great job while I was gone, and Drew Phillips came in, and Pal Gamble and Barry Hess, you know, held down the fort, and they came in. They did great shows, and Keith McKinney and all. I said, I'm going to go, well, what can we do? What can we say? Well, whatever, man. I don't care.
Well, they know what to say.
No, or not. I don't care. I didn't say it. I don't even know what they said. I was in the wilderness, man. So I'm just, you know, they're having fun, doing whatever. You know, Jet, I don't know, his first day, how many cocktails he needed. I don't know if you could tell. But the thing is that, you know, maybe, you know, his alcohol consumption goes down as he gets more experience. You know, so what happens is that, you know, I trust these guys to at least represent themselves. I mean, you know, they may say, well, Ernie always says or something like that. But, I mean, I'm in the archive. I got thousands of shows. You know, if they don't, you don't know what I'm going to say about something, you haven't been paying attention, you know? And next week, I really want to talk about a lot of the people that I met and the issues that came up on my trip, because I think it's a really good perspective. But coming back, I gotta like, you know, set the record straight. You know, I come in and they're going, wow, these, and I tell you, it goes the other way too. When we would publish these things that are critical of different people and things that are said and the coverage that's negative and all, you know, well, Ernie, why are you printing that? Well, because it had something that you get to see what both, you know, why not?
Yeah, I mean, you get to see how the bad guys operate.
I'm not supposed, and they're mad at me for putting it up there. And I'm going, wow, you so don't get it. Because everybody thinks that these people, there's different, like Chris, there was a lot of gun advocacy groups and so on. They're really happy to have him come speak to them. They want to give him honorary memberships. Other organizations like the Economic Discussion Group, which is really kind of this Republican leaning, you know, libertarian kind of, they say libertarian a lot, but, you know, they're Republicans, okay? But they, you know, have this different group and a lot of good hardcore anarchist libertarian in there that I like. But, you know, we go every month for that, and they want him to come speak. And they're going, wow, I don't know. He says some stuff. That doesn't sound very libertarian. I never said he said he was libertarian. He calls himself a constitutional, independent, Bible-believing, John Burt-supporting kind of fundamentalist, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's not quite the same thing as a libertarian.
Not quite.
Well, he's okay. We love Chris. He did a great job. But
yeah, no, Chris is fine. But I just want to make sure truth in advertising. You're going to get what you're going to get. You know, so, and I'd rather know now. You know, I don't care. These guys can say whatever they want. Am I allowed not to care? I just don't care. You get to say what you want, but I get to say what I want. I get to define, and you know, and I, because I know Pal Gamel for a long time, and he's a senior editor, he gets to speak for Freedom's Phoenix. I speak for Freedom's Phoenix. I'm not here, Pal says, I bet you it's about 99%, you know, of what I would have said anyway. You know, except sometimes the graphics he used are a little risque. You know, if you have a family and kids and everything, you go, yeah, I probably wouldn't have used that one. But I like him being a little edgy. You know, some I've changed. I'm like, oh, come on, man, you're really pushing the envelope on that one. But the but I like that. You know, I like being I'm the moderate one.
For a change.
So it's this kind of stuff is what we do to bring up this kind of attention to the issues that are out there, and I do it well. I do it very well. It's all about being no compromise and timing. It's all about timing. And you know you're successful when the other guys, when they scream foul the loudest, you know you're going, eh, got them.
Well, I mean, you know, we could all go take our ARs for a walk down on Washington Street today, but trust me, CNN won't be calling you if we do it, right?
No. There's always, you have
timing.
Some,
timing.
Well, if you have something the way you plan, the way these guys do, they work it up. You do. That's why CNN was so mad that they didn't know what we were doing. It wasn't a secret to the audience. You guys knew. It wasn't a secret to, you know, anybody else that was involved in this thing. You know, they knew what was going on.
And Phoenix Police knew.
The Phoenix Police knew.
The Secret Service knew.
Yeah, Secret Service knew. Heck, Obama knew. And the CNN is sitting there going, we didn't know. Like I did it wrong or something. I was supposed to call them. I'm going, you know, is it possible that I didn't give a crap what you thought? Am I allowed not to care about you guys? I mean, golly. So the thing is that it's so turned around. But we take advantage of this. And the one thing that I am disappointed in, and the biggest thing is that when you have candidates that are running for office, and I'll try and get one of them come in that is probably thinks he's suffering because of this. And my thing is, I'm going, you know, if you guys would do something, you get to define yourself. You know, define yourself. Go be defining. You know, whatever. This is what I'm going to come on here. I'll help you.
Yeah.
Heck, you know, we run ads. You know, I don't care. You know, but the thing is that if you think I'm defining what libertarianism because you're not doing anything, well, whose fault's that? You know, so I'm, you know, I don't want to hear it. All right, we got Ed Vallejo online, right? You know, let's go ahead, Ed. What do you got to say, man?
Hello, Ernie.
Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm more than wonderful. Yeah, that's right. Right before I left, I had my first grandchild. Boom! So we could go on the trip. We weren't going until we... Thank you.
Congratulations. Hey, Ernie, I had to call in, and I had to call in to thank you for allowing me on the radio program when Jet was on and allowing me to say whatever I wanted to because I had a really good time, and I got to say a lot that was on my mind.
Well, you know, and that's very freeing, but it's also, you got to be careful because the archive is there forever, you know? So I don't know what you had to say, but I'm sure you expressed yourself adequately.
Yes, sir, I did.
Well, what's been your perspective on all this hoopla over, you know, the gun and what they're going to try and turn this into and Pastor Anderson's thing? Because what's amazing, I'm totally out of the picture. You know, I mean, they all of a sudden that Ernie thing didn't work out well. It's Pastor Anderson. This is the Anderson thing, you know, because Chris was never part of this. He just called me like a couple days before saying he was going to bring. What am I not going to interview a black man with an AR-15 and Obama thing? I'm like, yes. So we did that and had fun with it. But, you know, so what do you think? How's this going to end up? Because it's not done.
Oh, it's never done. It's never done. They're going to try and demonize us as terrorists and everything that they possibly can because they fear us. You know, we're fighting for that liberty part where when the government fears the people, there's liberty. Well, they're starting to fear us. That means we're getting some of our liberties back, and that really makes me hopeful.
It is. There is a lot of things to be hopeful about because at least, you know, people are paying attention to the issues that we bring up. And the bad guys are like they're trying to twist it into whatever they want. And, of course, they'll pick the weak link. You know, it's like when you have a big march. They go to the guy with a camo floppy hat and, you know, and you know, half his teeth go, oh, yeah, we're going to, you know. And, of course, is that representative of the people? No, that's not. They're not going to play the way you want them to. What do you think was going to happen?
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. Monday through Friday, 11 to 1 p.m. And, you know, I wanted to thank Eric for coming in because we were talking last night on the phone, you know, kind of catching up on I was on vacation, you know, what's been going on. We're talking, and I'm like, really? They said that? Really? 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 Oh, my goodness. I guess we'll go in, we'll talk about it because, you know, dang. You know what Ernie said? It's whatever Ernie said. That's what Ernie said. You know, and, you know, one of the other things is, you know, the function of government is to, you know, provide you with service, all right? And the function of the media is to supply the Vaseline, okay? So it's so you can expect from, you know, from the media what's going to happen. But, I know this.
But I don't want service. Not that kind of service.
Yeah, it's like you know, you bring out the bull to service the cows, right. You know? I'm like, yeah. So, and you're always, you want people to listen to you. All right, and people are like, yeah, and I don't really worry about that much, but you say, wake up, America, you demand. Well, America doesn't need to be woken up, by which, of course, you mean to pay attention to whatever you think is important. If America wasn't already awake, paying attention to what each individual thinks is important, your milk would not have gotten delivered, and you wouldn't have any electricity this afternoon. The free market supplies your every whim. Okay, whatever, it's just, but I think that they should, you're trying to control, you're trying to central plan people, stop. You know, the free market will take care of it. But it's always about arguing over who gets to wear the ring of power. And I advocate, you know, not wearing the ring. You cannot force me to agree with you. You can force me to act as though I agree with you, but then you'll have to watch your back all the time, okay? So that's where we're at. They're trying to, you know, force us into that. And you may never convince the other guy, you know, but it's often worthwhile to keep arguing for the effect it has on bystanders, especially his allies. That's why we continue to do what we do, just to have the discussion. Because if we don't have this kind of discussion, the only thing you're going to be talking about is, you know, what kind of new bucket they're going to create in the name of healthcare. And it'll be the Republicans. They're not going to get what they want. But the Republicans are going to ride to the rescue and come up with some, you know,
compromise plan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it, I guarantee they get to create their bucket. You're going to get a bucket. A bucket of money. They're going to take a new line on your paycheck withholding. Mrs. Fika, and she likes to shop. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, here it comes. And you guys are advocating for it. And they distract you with this. Oh, the hate and hate. And before we go in the next segment, you know, Eric has some good things that we wanted to talk about. And reason he came in the longer segment that's coming. But I wanted to let you know why they're doing this. And I realized it from my experience when they last did this. When they first started making a big deal out of the militia and everything, I wrote this in the article I put in the Tribune. Well, a lot of people don't know is the, you know, the origination, one of the first MIAC reports of, Ron Paul bumper sticker people should be stopped and frisked, you know.
Terrorism.
They had a thing they called the militia watch list or something like that. In 94, we did an initiative for concealed carry that we now have as a law here in Arizona, but we didn't want to have a permit and so on. But that became a big deal. I mean, it was, you know, and we had the political action committee that you have to form around an initiative. We called it SAFE, Second Amendment is for Everyone. Well, I somehow, because Arizona is one of the first states that had, you know, anything like this, the Southern Poverty Law Center made a list of all the militias around the country, and I was on top of that list. Ernest Hancock,
you.
SAFE. Yeah.
Oh,
because I was chairman of SAFE.
Oh, just for being a Second Amendment activist.
Yeah.
That's all it took.
That's all it took.
You didn't even wear camo
No, you know, I didn't even own a gun. You know, I didn't. We go to these protests because I was poor. I didn't have a gun. If I needed a gun, I'd get one of my father's and we'd go camping or something, you know. But I didn't have a gun. So a guy, Mark, remember in East Valley, he gave me a Makarov just because he was embarrassed for me going to protest or being at the park or whatever, and I didn't have a gun. He's like, you know, you're head of the SAFE and you don't have a gun. This is just embarrassing, man. So he gave me one. You know, that was the first gun that I had. And then I bought one because the Brady Bill was coming and all that kind of stuff. So what happened was is that I had. The one thing that really angered them is that I was just on point on principle. I didn't have to have a gun to start trying to take them away, man. It's time to go buy guns, you know. And that's what happened. They did the assault weapons ban, Brady Bill, and all this other stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, what they were trying to do is show that we got people under control because it was about money. This is what happened. And it's happening right now again. You had Daddy Bush did the read my lips, no new taxes, okay. Then he breaks the promise.
Yeah.
Then you have this big up in arms, oh, we're not the same thing. You know, the AR-15s at healthcare, enslaving the next generation kind of stuff. And they went, oh, no. Why? Because it's what Ross Perot was going on about in 92. It's that you can't keep refinancing the debt. You're doing short-term needs with long-term bonds or long-term needs with short-term bonds or whatever.
Yeah.
Can I finish? Here's my chart. Okay.
Yeah, he was scaring them.
Oh, yeah.
They were
freaked.
Yeah.
So what happened is Japan and West Germany and Korea and all these kind of, they were not buying our debt. They weren't buying the bonds. Well, one of their big fears was, hey, you got armed populists. They're saying no new taxes and you broke your promise and gosh darn, they got guns and we're going to have, and how are we going to give you money to supply your debt? And then the people, you know,
they might not want to pay.
They might not want to pay, and they got guns. They don't have guns in our country, so they go through all this stuff. Oh, it's a threat and threat. And we got our Negroes under control and on the plantation. You know, yes, we got the slaves rounded up, boy. Don't worry about it. You know, and that's what was going on. And how I knew that is they had a German camera crew came. Five people, no, it was three of them. They came for 5 days and interviewed me and all kinds of stuff. I'll tell you about this when we come back. Then it was Japan. Then it was a magazine in South Korea. And it was all, the whole story is all about whether they had us under control enough, it was safe to invest in our debt. And they're doing the same thing because of China right now. It's the same thing. It's all about the money. Follow the money. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show,
is a man, risk is man.
Ernest Hancock, can you dig it?
Who's the cat that won't come out when that's what you're all about?
Ernie Hancock.
Right on.
You see this cat? Ernie.
Is a bad mother.
Such a Ernie.
Yeah, watch your hit my mic, man. Damn. Watch your mouth. You know, whatever entertains Jed. Anyway.
Hey, I thought it was damn entertaining.
Yeah, you got to warn me. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence, where we're, you know, we're having a show, kind of. So what we're going to do is I want to get to Eric real quick. But, you know, the one thing that I wanted you guys to understand, we're through this. After a while, you see the cycles. You know, you got the same people. You got Rahm Emanuel, which was senior advisor to Clinton from 93 to 98, during the middle of all this stuff. Then you had Janet Napolitano, which was U.S. assistant attorney, which was a she played ball with this Viper thing, man. I'd be good head Gestapo. That'd be good. So that's where she's at. Clinton, you know, Hillary, part of this same crowd. Where do they go? She goes to China. And she says, oh, no, man, don't abandon the dog, not yet. Got to do, we're going to wind this down, come and pinky swear, and gosh darn it, and you might wake up dead if, or whatever, however they word their negotiations. I have no idea how they do this, but I guarantee freaking tea, it was all about China. Don't worry about it. We got taken care of. We'll get you paid off, and you'll give us more money, all right? So this is, in whatever math they use to convince them something, you know, but this is what's going on. So this gun thing is not about guns. It's about the people's ability to resist an unlimited pillaging of their entire future and the future of their children. That's why we had the campaign, It's Not My Debt, you know, the kids. Now, Chris, that was the most powerful statement that he made, and he should have just stayed on point, when he came out and he goes, hey, you know, I just want people to know that if you keep plundering my generation, there will be eventually resistance. Boom. Great, done, end. But they couldn't let that stand. They couldn't. It couldn't be about that. It had to be about hate. And they played right into it because they're inexperienced, because they don't know better, because they're looking for something else. Notoriety. They want rise up of the Christians to go, and we're going to take over and, you know, and instill God's law and whatever kind of, you know, and I'm like, God, me and God's good, man. We got going on. And you know what? He don't need your law, all right? He don't. And when they did this gun control thing in the mid-90s, what happened to gun ownership, Eric?
It doubled.
I mean, at least. And now it's even more. You know, that's when we started buying firearms.
Yeah, I started the same time as you. I've been a libertarian all my life since, you know, the kind of mid-80s. I mean, I remember Ron Paul back in 1988 when he ran as a libertarian. I mean, I've been libertarian, but had never owned a gun till all of a sudden the Clinton administration's talking about, we're going to ban this and we're going to restrict that and control that. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I ought to get a half a dozen or so, just in case, you know.
Yeah, you got a few.
A few. But, you know, I mean, man, that's always the case. I mean, you try and make something illegal, you know, people are just gonna go for it. Hey, that piece you've been working off of is based on L. Neil Smith, right?
Yeah, L. Neil Smith wrote a book, I think it was Tom Paine Maru or something, one of his books. And in there, he had each chapter have one of these little sayings, and kind of the chapter applied to, you know, this kind of activism philosophy. And the initial publication, the publisher took those out. So when it was reprinted in the next editions, he put it back, and he had them setting to the side. He was kind of bummed that they took them out. And I saw them one time, and I go, oh, these are great. So this is how we did activism in Arizona since the mid-90s, was following this kind of philosophy.
Oh, yeah, Al Neal's great. This is one of his phrases I've been thinking about for, you know, probably the past few months, is the phrase, the cult of the omnipotent state. Which book did that come from? Or is it?
No, that's the prime directive. That's the mission statement of Libertarian National Party. National Party. We, the members of the Libertarian Party, oppose the cult of the omnipotent state.
Okay. All right. I mean, I've been, you know, kind of thinking about that a lot lately.
Of course, a lot of the people, the namby-pambies in the party, they want to get rid of that. Ooh, that sounds so
scary.
And I'm going, you look at the definition of what cult is and worshiping and the omnipotent state. I go, that's the biggest reason why I like the Libertarian Party is that statement.
Well, the statement is so accurate. I mean, you know, after beating my head against the wall with my, you know, talking, having discussions with countless people over the decades, you know, my Republican friends, left-wing nut friends, you know, whatever, you know, as you talk to them, eventually I could only conclude that they worship the state like a god or something. I mean, it does seem like that. I mean, no matter what you know, you start saying, you know, talking about the education system, well, maybe we shouldn't have government schools. oh, well, how would little Johnny get educated? We'd all be illiterate. I'm like, no. You know, for, you know, most of human history, we didn't have, like, regimented government classrooms where little Johnny sat and, you know, had it pounded into him.
But the big bad guys wanted that.
Well, that's right. And that didn't happen until, you know, probably about 150 years ago. Yet people have been so brainwashed into this state worship. And it's been through, you know, government schools and various media propaganda. And, you know, I realize when talking to them, I feel like, you know, an atheist talking with a Christian trying to convince them there is no God. No matter what I say, it's so ingrained in them that they should stand up, salute the flag, and worship the state. I mean, it's
insane. Where I feel that we're making, well, it's not necessarily because of the headway, it's just the reason for the headway is that it takes all of this resource and effort and money, and half of our state tax budget goes in education. So think about this. How much money does the government have to spend to maintain this kind of mentality and control generation after generation?
Yeah, billions.
It's enormous. And it's just a testament to us that as human beings, how much resistance there is to this kind of central plan programming. Certainly if you're going to try and convince anybody, you know, that they're free, you know. And so I see this is a good sign. I'm going, the fact that they have to spend so much resources, of our money, of course, yeah, in indoctrinating us in television. And what do you think they call it? Television programming. I mean, you know, you're plugged in. You know, you got the Matrix. You got a thing in the back of your head. You know, and television, you got it coming in through your eyes. I mean, you know, what's the difference, you know? Yeah. So I understand. I'm very optimistic, and I know if we can maintain the love and the love-lution, we win. And when you start doing, you know, this kind of hate and they're bad and hate and hate and hate, it doesn't serve
it
your
doesn't,
purpose.
No. I mean, it, you know, look.
Because then what if you win? You got hating people. You know, now we're on top and we hate people.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah. Well, we're all for that.
Yeah, we won.
We won. Yeah. No, I mean, look, I mean, in, as far as I see it, you know, like you're saying, they spend an inordinate amount of money to brainwash people, inordinate amounts of money to maintain the empire abroad, you know, all these wars and all this stuff. You know, I see this, hopefully, you know, in sort of, you know, ending in sort of a peaceful devolution like the Soviet Empire. You know, one day in 1989, ooh, we have no more money. Poland, you're free. Czechoslovakia, you're free. You see what I'm saying? I mean, either that or you know, we could face the same thing here. Guess what? We can't maintain the empire. You're all free. You states go your own way. Or even, you know, just if enough people quit believing in the cult of the omnipotent state, we can ignore it.
Just quit believing in it. You know, just quit playing their game. Just quit. You know, then what? I don't know.
Well, once the money runs out.
Just quit.
Well, once the money runs out, people will return to their natural state of being free. I mean, that's
you know, there was a movie we saw when I was at Jekyll Island, Bob Schultz's thing. They had a movie they showed one night, and you could go and watch if you want to. And I poked my head in, and I got, you know, sucked into the movie. And it was called The Singing Revolution, and it was a really good movie. And what it was about was one of the Soviet states. I can't remember which Armenia or whatever it was one of those IAs.
Yeah.
And they're out there, and it was illegal for them to gather, okay? Well, they just kept gathering each year for this traditional folk song singing thing, and it turned into this enormous, hundreds of thousands of people are just there singing. And then somebody showed the flag of that old country, you know. Ooh, that was illegal. They got that hidden. And then all of a sudden, everybody's showing their flags. All these flags, where do these flags come from, you know? Go get their flags.
Who's in charge?
Yeah, who's in charge? So it, you know, people got arrested, and they had, and finally what happened is the Soviet Union were bringing the tanks. I mean, here they come. And they just resisted. They just held out long, and finally Gorbachev, it's not working. And they went another tack. Gorbachev became head of the Green Cross. Socialism, environmentalism, the socialist new flagship, you know. So you got to,
right,
you know, we're not done. We're just going to do it a different way, right, with the UN and so on. And all this environmentalism, you know, carbon tax credits.
Yeah.
We're going to use taxing people and get all kinds of money, you know. So this is, it's a much higher battle than people sitting running for political office, which, you know, fine. I, you know, do it, don't do it. I, you know, I don't care. Heck, I do it.
If just for the platform.
Yeah, I'll do it, and I'll do it again. Right. And we'll talk about it next week. I got a plan. I may run for political office again. I mean, I have every election. It's not like a big secret. But, you know, I'm like, you know, I got to come up with a reason. Which one do I want to do? Why, you know, I just, you know, do I have to? I mean, can somebody else do it? I'm waiting. And you wait, and I tell you when the trigger is. It's Labor Day. The Labor Day of the year before an election cycle, that's when it starts. If they're not coming out by then, if you don't have somebody, ooh, I'm doing it and everything, kind of like Nick Coons here, early running, you know, for Congress, and he's all upset because libertarians kind of, you know, they have guns. But, you know, we'll talk about that. But the point is that we have, if you're running, you should be doing it by now if you're going to be, you know, the serious play the game the way they do it. So I wait till after Labor Day. Now I go, anybody? Nope. That's it. One. Okay, we're done. You know, I'll go ahead and do whatever I want to do. Help other people get on the ballot, you know, and we'll see what happens. First, you got to get ballots tested, and they want to take that away. And 1 year in 2000, I think it was, they purged 3,800 libertarians from the county election rolls as libertarians to bring the county registration under ballot status. The county did, because they were afraid we were going to run against Arpaio and the county offices. They were, you know, we're just going to make sure they don't. Kept ballot status on the state level, but Maricopa County, yeah. You just missed it. Had to purge 3,800 people, but you just missed it.
Now, know? How do they purge people?
Because they can. I mean, no. They
just push a button, right?
Yeah, they just purged. Go, these guys didn't, whatever criteria they had, you know, they didn't vote, they don't live there, and whatever. I don't know, they just said no.
And spend 50 grand and prove that they do.
Right, see, right. Yeah, right. So, you know, yeah. I'm just like, whatever, you know, I don't worry about that stuff. Let them, you know, it just shows what they are. So you get a lesson in that. So what happens is I'm going, why would I run for office? And if I'm going to do it, am I going to go big? Am I going to do, you know, federal, Congress, you know, state, you know, what am I going to do? We'll talk about it next week. But the thing was, why would I do it? You know, I always come up with some reason, but why would I do it this time? And I'll tell you what it was. This trip I went on met people that are intelligent, that are in. They are afraid. They're in this, you know, it's like think truth. And I tell you what it was, is our business cards that we have. On the front, it has Freedom's Phoenix and so on. And on the back, it has the logo of the Molotov cocktail throwing guy throwing the bouquet of flowers. You know, yeah. It says the Lovolution, right? Revolution. And the slogan is, we know the truth. We know the truth. And he's going, oh, yeah? Well, there is no truth. It's all subjective. You know, it's what CNN says it is, you know? And I'm going, wow, these guys don't. So what if you had an entire campaign and you don't care about what the media says? You don't care about, because we're in the age of the internet. People are going to look at this race. It's going to be high profile. It's going to be, you know, Ernie Revolution guy. Then they're going to go and look, what does he have to say about fill in the blank? I could do whatever. I go, the truth about global warming, the truth about gun confiscation, the truth about the Federal Reserve, the truth about, I mean, you know, this is what they say, and this is what I say is, you know, I perceive to be the truth, and this is the evidence that I got. And
everybody,
you know,
should look at it.
Yeah, here's a resource. Have a nice day. Yeah. You know, oh, by the way, go subscribe to Freedom's Phoenix.
Yeah.
You know, get it every day. So if I do something like that, what threat is that? That's the power. That's what you have. That's why we run for office. That's why you should run for office. But it's to spread the truth. The truth. Do you love people enough to want to give them the truth and let them do with their freedom what they want, as long as it doesn't bother you? Or do you want to control people enough to just use the force of government to get them to behave the way you want them to? That's the difference.
Well, that's the whole point of the Lovolution. If you're, I mean, why spend all this time and effort freeing other people's hearts and minds if you don't love them? What's the point?
You know, and the one thing, there's another thing if you put in, it's called The Legitimacy of Government. It was an article I wrote back in 94. It was in response to, so we're going back and forth with a guy that was, you know, he's going on about the social contract and the Constitution, and we have to, and I'm like,
social, I never signed.
Yeah, exactly.
Where is it?
Exactly.
I can't find it.
And I'm going, and I go, if government is legitimate, merely tell me whence it derives its legitimacy. Social contract is currently fashionable in the ebb and flow of online political debate. This is a contract I never signed, that I've never seen, that has no terms, that is binding upon me, you know, that has no terms, that is binding upon me, but not upon the other party, that can be dispensed with at will by the government, but must be submitted to by me upon pain of incarceration. whose terms may change on the fly or even retroactively, from which there is no escape clause, which is binding in perpetuity, which binds my ancestors and descendants, which requires fealty but guarantees no consideration. It is BS on its face. But that's not the interesting thing. There are 1,000 intricate dodges designed to cover the ass of statism. And refuting one of the lot isn't that fun or that illuminating. At least, you know, if you've been working these boards for a while, there will always be another transparent cloak for the emperor to wear. What's interesting is that there are 1,000 cloaks, but there aren't 1,001. Here's the 1,001st, and you'll never hear it from a statist. Because they have guns, and if you don't obey, they'll shoot you. That's their legitimacy. That's it. You think it's more complicated than that, and it's not. It's about force. It's about hate. It's about we can. It's about, you know, a gun to your head, coercion. Yeah, that's what it's about. It's not about love. No. And freedom and do what you want. Just don't bother me. You know, it's not about that. Let's go to Barry. Go ahead, Barry.
You're back. I was calling to welcome you back, and it's great to see you in top form. It's all about love. But you're right. While you were gone, there were some haters out there. They're haters.
You know, and a lot of things, you go, yeah, well, you know these people. And I'm going, yeah, so? I mean, I'm on the left and the right, and I'm friends with everybody. Heck, you know, I got the progressive talk show host doing 6 hours for Randy Rhodes here in the studio last week. Yeah, I don't care. You know, let them go. I know these guys. I worked with them for a long time. On the right, I know these guys. On the weird, I know these guys. I mean, you know, whatever. They are allowed to say whatever they want. That's the beauty of Freedom's Phoenix. And Pal Gamble did a really good job of writing that, you know, about, you know, how all this, you know, how could you write this or print this or not this or do it? And he's like, hey, man, you guys don't get it. You know, we just, you know, seeking the truth. You know, well, here's the truth. You know, do what you want.
You know, there's a proven maxim. It says keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
maybe not. Can I not care? It's good to understand them. I understand the point, but I just, you know, I don't, I just, can I not have enemies? Am I allowed not to? You know, that's the one thing. It's always a us-them deal. And then they separate it by gender or race or economic status or political party or philosophy. They always want to separate. And I'm like, you know, love doesn't separate. It's inclusive.
Divide and conquer is the bad guys.
That's what they want to do. Well, that's not what I want to do. What we want to do here is spread love. And part of that is you tell the truth. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, Jet Lacey on the board, and in the studio, Eric Cartridge. Right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Constant sorrow. Yeah, you're a singer. Go for it. Yeah, Cartridge Family Band, man. You know, he can do it. Yeah, is it that bad? Well, you know, some people like that. Can we have fun doing this? I mean, am I allowed? You know, everybody, they get all nutted up all the time, and I'm just like not that nutted up. I'm good. You good?
I'm good.
He's good. Let's see if Gary's good. Gary in California, what you got to say, man? Gary.
I know what you guys had to say. You know, you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
We were talking about socialism, and the first introduction of socialism into this country. Now, listen, because it takes a little bit here.
No, it doesn't. You got about 30 seconds. Go for it.
The pilgrims came over. Everybody shared in the community. They found out that wasn't working so well because some people were sitting down and still getting their share. So then they divided it up into private property, and you got to eat as much as you planted.
So, and that's what saved them. I remember this story because in the records of that, you know, thanks for the call, Gary. That's a good segment. It dovetails into what Eric wanted to say before the finish of the show. I appreciate that. Because socialism, just the concept is that, you know, from each according to their abilities to each according to their needs has never worked.
Never.
And, you know, and they're trying to do it again now, but that's just the excuse. What it's really about is just creating another bucket of money for them to loot.
Yeah, more control, more theft, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing, you know, but we got Obama is going to try and indoctrinate the youngins.
Oh, yes.
Into it. You tell us about that.
Yes, he is. I mean, think about this thing. When I read about Obama's going to speak to all the school children, now they've got, and I'm old, so they didn't have TVs in every classroom when I was a kid, but the Matrix is now in every classroom, and they're going to, you know, plug Big Brother Obama in there to give a speech about, I'm sure, socialism, how you young children are the future of the state and, you know, you must all bow down to the cult of the omnipotent state and all that kind of thing. I have no doubt that's going to be the message. In fact, I'm going to watch it just so I can laugh at it.
Well, you know what happened? There was on Freedom's Phoenix, this is where I first found out about it. There's a lot of parents that are keeping their kids home. You know, they're just like, I don't want them exposed. We're done with this.
Yeah, this is good. I'm liking that.
But what happens? I mean, you know, there'll come a time to where, no. You got to, you know, if you missed it, we got it playing again in the back room. You got to go watch it. Kind of, you know, on penalty of death, Big Brother, you can't turn the TV off.
Well, I heard it depends on which school district you're in. Some kids, even here in the Valley, and this is just a rumor. My wife read it on the internet this morning, or maybe it was in the news. I didn't look at it personally. But supposedly the kids in Tempe School District are required to watch the speech. Mesa, not so much. Being Mesa,
yeah, but all the Mormons are
no. But the Tempe school kids are supposedly required.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna look into that a little bit more. But
And they use a lot of different methods. I remember we're doing a big show a few years ago on the radio show where there was when the parents that did not want military recruiters to be bugging their children in high school, their juniors, seniors, and they're just start hammering on them. They go, no, take us off the list. And they go, okay, fine. Then your kid can't have his picture in the yearbook. This is how they could. I mean, it's so bad. It's almost funny.
That's funny. I mean, it's so weak. I mean,
it's not funny to a 17-year-old kid wants to be in the yearbook.
Yeah, I'd go boo-hoo.
You know, yeah. When you're 25, nobody cares anyway. But the I'm very, you know, I'm optimistic. I mean, when it gets this bad, when they have to spend this much money, when they have to forcibly, you know, get Big Brother's face in the form of Obama into the classrooms, the TVs they put there for this purpose, okay, to be able to mainline into the kids, when they have to go to this extreme and bring this debate up, it means that they got a weak argument. It's not natural.
And it's obvious.
It's obvious. Well, you know, starting next week, we'll get right back into the show. You know, there's all kinds of stuff going on. I'll make sure you know all about it then. We'll see you then.